Meseches Eirin, Perek Yud, Mishnah Yud Gimel, until Meseches Pesachim, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. As we saw in the previous couple of Mishnayos, Bamikdash Ligozer Mishum Shavus. In the Beis HaMikdash, the rabbinic prohibitions of Shabbos do not apply. Shavus is the term used for rabbinic prohibitions on Shabbos, and these in general do not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. As we saw, according to some Rishonim, if it's a severe prohibition midrabanan, then it would apply even in the Beis HaMikdash. Be as it may, the Mishnah's next example is Machzirin Ritiya Bamikdash. One is allowed to put back a bandage on a person's wound in the Beis HaMikdash, Avalimah Medina, but not outside of the Beis HaMikdash, not in the rest of the country. In general, this is forbidden in case you come to smooth some cream or other similar substances onto the wound or onto the bandage, which is forbidden mid eraisa. So midrabanan, you cannot put a bandage at all on the wound, of course, unless it's very dangerous, in case you come to violate the prohibition mid eraisa of smoothing the cream onto the bandage. Now, the reason why this was permitted in the Beis HaMikdash is that the halacha is that a kohen can only do the service in the Beis HaMikdash if there is nothing blocking between his hands and the utensils which he is using. If there's a chatzitza, if there's a material which is blocking between his hands and the Beis HaMikdash's utensils, then the service which he does is invalid, which means that if the kohen had a bandage on him, he would not be able to do the Beis HaMikdash's service. Now, if it would be forbidden to put a bandage back on, then the Chachom were concerned that the Kohanim would not do the Avodah on the Beis HaMikdash. If they had a wound on their hand, and it would mean they would have to take off the bandage, and wouldn't be able to put the bandage back on once they'd finished, then they were concerned that the Kohanim would not really be able to, or would not be willing to do the Beis HaMikdash's service. So in order that the Kohen be willing to do so, the Chacham permitted him to put the bandage back on once he has finished doing the Avodah, doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash. This comes under the rule of Hetiru Seifa Mishum Tchilasai, where the Chachamim permitted doing something at the end because of the beginning. So they permitted you to do something after you do the Avodah, after you serve in the Beis HaMikdash, so that you will do so in the first place. However, says the Mishnah, Avo Bat Techila, but to put the bandage on at the beginning for the first time, Kamachan also, that's forbidden both here and here, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash, his whole leniency was only to a Kohen who already had a bandage on him. So he wouldn't want to take it off and then not be able to put it back on. And therefore, we allow him to take it off and put it back on so that he will do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. But if the Kohen had not yet even put a bandage on at all, and he wants to put it on for the first time, then it is forbidden. Because then it's not really like he's doing it for the sake of the service of the Beis HaMikdash. He's just doing it for his own need, so it is forbidden even in the Beis HaMikdash. Next example, Koshin Nima BaMikdash. They can tie a string onto an instrument in the Beis HaMikdash, since in order to perform the service of the Beis HaMikdash, there's a requirement for the Levium to sing and for them to play instruments. So if one of the strings became undone on Shabbos, then you are allowed to retie it on Shabbos. And the way we're going to understand this is that although it's forbidden mid-oraisa to make a knot on Shabbos, if it's for the sake of a mitzvah, then it overrides Shabbos. And even though this is not directly related to the mitzvah, this is only so that you can fulfill the mitzvah. Nevertheless, this mission is of the opinion that machshire mitzvah doch mesa Shabbos, that even things which are necessary in order to reach the mitzvah, even that overrides Shabbos. However, in Batechila, if at the beginning, meaning if the string was never tied to the instrument, rather you're tying it now for the first time, then kan v'chan osur, it is forbidden both here and here, even in the Beis HaMikdash. The reason being that this rule that machshire mitzvah doch mesa Shabbos, that if it's for the sake of a mitzvah, then it overrides Shabbos, that's only if the activity which you're doing could not have been done before Shabbos came in. So for example, in the previous case, when Shabbos came in, the instrument was actually absolutely fine. The string only became detached on Shabbos itself. So of course you couldn't have repaired it before Shabbos, and therefore it's permitted. But if it was never tied before in the first place, so you definitely could have and should have done that before Shabbos came in, and therefore, even though it's for the sake of a mitzvah, it does not override Shabbos. Alright, last little example of the Mishnah. One is allowed to cut a wart on a kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, because if he has a wart, then he's not able to do the service in the Beis HaMikdash, because that's considered a mum. It's considered a wound which disqualifies a kohen from being able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So since, once again, this is for the sake of a mitzvah, and it's done in the Beis HaMikdash, so it is permitted to cut the wart. However, since this can be done in an unusual way, not in its regular manner, it must be done in an unusual way, such that you would only be violating a midrabanan prohibition. So for example, you would cut it with your hand, with your nail, instead of using a real knife or a real tool which was meant for these things, but it cannot be done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, since even though it's done in an unusual way, it's still forbidden midrabbanon. However, says the Mishnah of Imbakli, if it's done with a tool, an instrument which is used for cutting warts, so then that's considered the regular way of doing it, and it is forbidden mid'oraisa due to the fact that it is a tolda, it's a subcategory of the malacha of geizes, of shearing a sheep, so too cutting the wart, that comes under that category, and therefore it is forbidden mid'oraisa, and so even in the Beis HaMikdash it is forbidden. Mishnah Yudalet. Now the Mishnah goes on to discuss a wound of a Kohen, which is not in a place where it would be a blockage between his hand and the utensils which he's using. If it's in that place, then he can't have the bandage on him whilst he is doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash. But if, let's say, he has a wound on his left hand, so he generally does the service of the Beis HaMikdash with his right hand. So there's no problem having a bandage while he is doing the service of the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, quite the opposite, it would be a lack of honor to serve in the Beis HaMikdash with an open cut, with an open wound, so he should cover it, and even though in general it's forbidden to put bandages which are specially made to cover wounds for healing purposes, in general it is forbidden to do anything for the sake of healing on Shabbos. This is forbidden midrabbanon in case somebody comes to crush herbs for the sake of medicine. However, since this is only midrabbanon, the Mishnah says, Kohen shelokah be'etzba'oi, a Kohen who has a wound or a cut on his finger, so we're talking about the finger of his left hand, so he doesn't need it for the service of the Beis HaMikdash, Kerich alah olav gemi, he can wrap it with a bandage, b'mikdash in the Beis HaMikdash of Rebbe Medina, but not outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, im lohitzi dom, if he puts the bandage on in such a way that he applies pressure to the wound so that blood comes out, in that case, kamchan also, both here and here, meaning even inside of the Beis HaMikdash it's forbidden, since this is considered to be a toldoi, subcategory of the malacha of sheichet, of slaughtering an animal, so too drawing blood is forbidden mid'oraisa, or according to some, it's considered a severe level of midrabbanon, or since it's not needed for the sake of the service of the Beis HaMikdash, it would be forbidden even inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Next example, Bezkin melach al gabi kevesh. It is permitted to spread salt on the ramp of the Mizbeach, b'shvul shel yachviku, so that the people going up and down the ramp don't slip. And we're going to understand this is forbidden in a similar case outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it will be forbidden because it's considered fixing. If you've got an area which is very slippery, so it's not fit for walking on, and then you spread salt on it, you're fixing that area and making it fitting to walk there. So that is forbidden midrabbanon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now midrabbanon, it is also forbidden to fill up water, to draw water from a pit on Shabbos, if you do so in a way where you have ropes which are attached to a bucket, and in order to get the water, you basically pull on the ropes, you lower down the bucket and then pull on the ropes, and that way you very easily get the water from a pit which could even be very low down, and a very deep pit, but if you use this mechanism of the ropes, then you can draw the water like that. And because it was so easy and quick to get the water like this, the Chachom were concerned that if you're able to do so, you might come to draw lots of water since you see that it's so easy, and you might even come to water your field or water your plants with this water which is so easy to get. And therefore, midrabbanon, it's forbidden to use this mechanism to get water from a pit on Shabbos. However, once again, in the Beis HaMikdash, they made an exception. It is permitted to fill up water from Bur HaGoyla, or from the Bur HaGadol, the Great Well. These are two wells situated in the Beis HaMikdash. Bagalgal, using this mechanism of the ropes, Shabbos on Shabbos. And lastly, there's one particular pit which the Chachom allowed one to fill water from, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And that is Mibe'er HaKer B'Yomtev. On Yomtev, it's permitted to draw water from a particular well known as Be'er HaKer, and this refers to a particular well which, when the Jewish people were returning from Bovel back to Eretz Yisrael, just before the second Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, so that those returning would have water on the journey, they permitted this on Yomtev, and they did not remove this permission afterwards. And therefore, even later on Yomtev, it is permitted, this particular well, it is permitted to draw water from that well. Mishnah Teslov, since we're discussing the Beis HaMikdash already, the Mishnah goes on to tell us that Sheretz Shnimtza B'Hamikdash, if a Sheretz is found in the Beis HaMikdash, a Sheretz is one of the eight small creatures which the Torah lists as having a high level of Tumah when they are dead. If a dead Sheretz touches a object or a person, then they become Tomei. Now, of course, it's forbidden to allow anything which is Tomei to be in the Beis HaMikdash. So if somebody finds a dead Sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash, it needs to be removed. Now, dead Sheretz is obviously Muktzah on Shabbos, it has no use. And so if this is found in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, you'll have to violate the prohibition of Muktzah in order to take it out of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, there's a problem, because if the Kohen picks the Sheretz up, to take it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then he automatically becomes Tomei, and there is a very severe prohibition of being in the Beis HaMikdash whilst one is Tomei. So he can't touch the Sheretz directly, rather he should take it with something else, and that way that something else will become Tomei, but it won't be strong enough to make him Tomei as well. Now, for something to be able to become Tomei, there are lots of conditions. Each material has different rules, and for example, a wooden item can only become Tomei if it can hold things. If it's like a bowl where there's actually a receptacle in there to hold things, but if it does not have that, then even if it touches something which is Tomei, it won't become Tomei. So the question of our Mishnah is, if somebody is able to go and get a object like like a wooden utensil which can't become Tomei, and then to take the Sheretz out with that outside of the Beis HaMikdash, should he do that, or should he just take something else which he has on him immediately and get rid of the Sheretz as soon as he can? So according to the first opinion of the Mishnah, Kohen Ritzia Behem Yonai, a Kohen should take it out with his belt, also known as the Avnit. This is one of the garments which a Kohen needs to wear whilst in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Avnit will become Tomei, and it's better that he do that in order to get rid of the Sheretz as soon as possible, Shlo L'Shayis HaTuma, in order not to keep the Tuma inside the Beis HaMikdash for too long. Dibi Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereika, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereika. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, B'tzvah Shal Eitz, he should use wooden tongs, or any other utensil which cannot become Tomei, Shlo L'Rabbis HaTuma, in order not to increase the amount of things which are Tomei in the Beis HaMikdash. It's better to wait a bit longer with one item which is Tomei in the Beis HaMikdash than to make something else Tomei in the Beis HaMikdash in the process of removing the Sheretz. Now remember, when he is doing this, he is violating the Midrabanan prohibition of Muktzah, and so he can only do this if it is an obligation. So the Mishnah asks, Mehecha Muktzah Nesai, from where, from which places inside of the Beis HaMikdash would one take it out on Shabbos? The mitzvah of removing any Tumah from the Beis HaMikdash, which parts of the Beis HaMikdash does that apply? Says Mishnah, Min HaHechel, from the Hechel, which is the main Beis HaMikdash, that's the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Min HaUlam, this is a large room, which was just in front of the main building of the Beis HaMikdash. Min HaUlam, Min HaMizbeach, and in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, in the courtyard, in the Chotzer of the Beis HaMikdash. Di Rabbi Yishim Bananas, that is the opinion of Mishim Bananas. But if it's found, let's say, further outwards, in another part of the courtyard, for example, then you would leave it there until the end of Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva argues, Rabbi Akiva says, Mokim Shechayovin al Zedonu Koris Val Shigigasei Chatos, any place in the Beis HaMikdash where one is liable for entering there, whilst he is Tomei, whilst the person is Tomei, if he does it intentionally, he would be Chayv Koris, and if he does it unintentionally, for example, if he didn't know he was Tomei, then he would be obligated to bring a Korban Chatos. So any area where that applies, and really that refers to the entire courtyard as well, the entire Chotzer, says Rabbi Akiva, the same thing applies to this mitzvah of removing Tomei items from the Beis HaMikdash. And so Mishom Itzino, so from there he is obligated to take it out. So even if it's on Shabbos and there's usually a din of Muktzah, over here he needs to take it out if it is found anywhere in the Beis HaMikdash according to Rabbi Akiva. Says the Mishnah, Sh'ar Kol HaMakomos, if it's found in any other place in the Beis HaMikdash or around the Beis HaMikdash, Kofen Olav Pesach there, they should cover it with a pot, and then once Shabbos goes out, then they should remove the Sheretz from the Beis HaMikdash. Alright, now the Masechta ends off with two statements of Rabbi Shimon, which are actually related to two different, totally separate Mishnayos, which we had earlier on in the Masechta. It's interesting they are placed here, but be it as it may, the first of those refers to a din which we learnt in the fourth perek, that Rabbi Shimon himself said that if somebody is found when Shabbos comes in within 15 amos of the mark, which is at the edge of the tuchum of a city. As we learnt, every city has a tuchum Shabbos, 2,000 amos in every direction, and they would measure the 2,000 amos and put a mark at the end of the 2,000 amos. Now, if somebody finds himself within 15 amos, outside of the tuchum, past the mark, but within 15 amos of that mark, so though I would think that it is forbidden for him to actually travel all the way to the city, because seemingly he is further than 2,000 amos away from the city, and so his mokum hashavisa, the place where he is considered to be living, is where he is situated right now, so he can only travel 2,000 amos in every direction, which does not allow him to reach the city. However, as we learned, when they put the mark of the edge of the tchum, they didn't actually put it at the end of 2,000 amos, rather it was 15 amos inwards, and therefore if somebody finds themselves within 15 amos of that mark, that is a sign that they are actually within the tchum of the city, and they are therefore allowed to travel all the way to the city on Shabbos itself. And their tchum is of course going to be the same as if they were inside of the city, so they have 2,000 amos in every direction of the city. Now the last statement of the Masechta goes back to a Mishnah in this Perek, where we learn that although it's forbidden midrabbonon outside of the Beis HaMikdash to tie even a temporary knot on an instrument, if let's say one of the strings broke off, it will be forbidden to tie that on Shabbos. In the Beis HaMikdash it's permitted, since it's a requirement for the service of the Beis HaMikdash, and since it's only forbidden midrabbonon because it's a temporary knot, it can be tied in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. However, Rabbi Shimon says this is forbidden, the reason being, shalehi tiru l'chalem shum shavus, because the Chacham only permitted in the Beis HaMikdash to violate things which are forbidden midrabbanon on Shabbos. Meaning, only things which are totally forbidden midrabbanon and have no connection to anything forbidden midoraisa, only those things can't be done in the Beis HaMikdash. But if by doing the midrabbanon prohibition, you might come to violate a prohibition midoraisa, then even in the Beis HaMikdash it is forbidden. So in this case, if you are allowed to do a temporary knot, you could very easily come to make a permanent knot, and that would be forbidden midoraisa, and therefore even the temporary knot, which is forbidden midrabbanon, is forbidden even in the Beis HaMikdash. Solik Maseches Erevin Mazel Tov. We move on to Maseches Pesachim, and Maseches Pesachim is pretty much split into half. The first half of the Masechta discusses the laws of chometz, making sure one searches for the chometz and destroys it and doesn't have it on Pesach, and doesn't own any chometz on Pesach. Whereas the second half of the Masechta, except for the last perek, focuses more on the korban Pesach, which was brought in the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Pesach. Now the Masechta opens up with a discussion of bedikas chometz, of searching for the chometz, and the purpose of bedikas chometz is either so that somebody does not come to violate the prohibition of owning chometz on Pesach, so he needs to search his house to make sure that he gets rid of all the chometz which he can find. Although according to many, that is not the purpose of bedikas chometz, because anyway, before Pesach begins, or the truth is before the afternoon of Erev Pesach, already from the afternoon of Erev Pesach, it's forbidden to own any chometz. So before the afternoon of chometz, one is obligated to nullify any of his rights and any of his possession of any chometz which he has. He makes a declaration that any chometz which he has should be like dust of the earth. It's as if it's not there. He doesn't own it. And according to that, the purpose of bedikas chometz is not so that you don't own any chometz on Pesach. The bittul, the declaration where you nullify all of your chometz, that's enough. And therefore many explain that the purpose of bedikas chometz is so that one does not come to find chometz on Pesach in his own house and then come to eat it. So that is the purpose of bedikas chometz. Be it as it may, the Mishnah begins, Ola Arba'a Osar, on the night of the 14th day of Nisan, the night before Pesach begins, Bedikas chometz L'Or Haner, one must search for chometz by the light of a candle, in any place where he owns, and could have brought chometz there throughout the year. The reason why this mitzvah should ideally be done at night is because then most of the people who live in the house are at home, they can all search for the chometz, and also so that a candle can be used, and that way even if it's dark, you use the candle, and that way you'll search even more carefully, and you'll light up even the corners, so that you can really do a proper search for chometz at night. Says the Mishnah, Kol Mokom She'machnisim by chometz, any place where you don't bring chometz into that place ever, for example if you have a cellar which is used for storage, so you very rarely enter that room, and if you do enter, you're not going to bring in chometz there. And because of that, in Tzarech Bedika, it does not need a searching. We're not concerned that an animal might have dragged some food into there. Since it's so unlikely that chometz is there, you can rely on that assumption, and you do not need to check that area. Now, if that's the case, ask the Mishnah, V'loma Omru, why did the Chachomim say that one does need to check Shtei Shurois Bamartef, two rows of barrels in a wine cellar? There was a known halacha of the Chachamim that if somebody has a wine cellar, then he does need to check the two outer rows between the barrels, check if there is chometz over there. We'll see in the end of this Mishnah what exactly the two rows means. But the Mishnah asks, surely you shouldn't need to check that place at all. People don't bring chometz into a wine cellar, so the Mishnah answers, Mekom Shemachnisim by chometz. We're referring to a place where people do sometimes bring chometz into there. And as the Gemara explains, there are two types of cellars. If it's a cellar which is used purely for storage, then it does not need to be checked. But if it's in your house and you use it to get wine, so every now and then when you need more wine, you go down and bring wine from there. We're concerned that one servant went into the wine cellar in the middle of a meal whilst eating some bread, and he brought bread into that room or any other items of chometz, and then maybe left it there and forgot about it. So because of that, one does need to check that room for chometz. Now, what exactly does it mean that you have to check the two outer rows? So, Beis Shammai, I mean, Beis Shammai say, Shtei Shroyos Al Pnei Kol Amartev. One needs to check two of the rows on the face of the entire cellar. Meaning, if let's say you have lots of barrels stacked up, and there are lots of rows, one in front of the other. So the two outer rows, the two front rows, those need to be checked fully. So from top to bottom, even if there's, let's say, five barrels stacked one on top of the other, all of the barrels in the front two rows need to be checked. Beis Hillel say they are more lenient. It's only the two outer rows, the two outer layers, which are at the top. Meaning if, let's say, you've got lots of barrels stacked one on top of the other, and you've got lots of layers, one in front of the other. So according to Beis Hillel, only the outer layer needs to be checked, and only the two top rows of the outer layer need to be checked. Whereas according to Beis Shammai, the entire two outer layers need to be checked. That's at least how we're going to understand the Mishnah, although the Gemara does bring a machlokes about both opinions and different ways to interpret it.